The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome on in. We are in Philadelphia. We are doing hotel room show today because as soon as I'm done with this, I am heading to the ballpark. It will be game number six. Game number six. Diamondbacks have to win. If they don't, season is over. We'll get into that in a minute. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. We're going to give a quick shout out to, and I know Jeff Meshey won't mind this, and Tim Hovick won't mind it, that the two are together, but Santan Ford, we would not be doing all the traveling that we do year in and year out without Tim Hovick and Santan Ford, one of our partners as well. We are self-funded. That means, as you see commercials in here, those people say, we believe, Brad, in what you're doing over the last 12 years, and we want to be involved with you. So please support them. I do not charge you. I do not believe that to be the way to go. And some people are like, that's crazy. You should do that. Like, no, rather be self-funded. So that's it. Merrill Kelly is where the Diamondbacks are today to keep their hopes alive. I was on a Zoom yesterday with Torrey Lovello, and I liked his honesty. I'm not with the team day in and day out. There's only a few people that really are with the team day in and day out. I think there's like four beat reporters. Baseball's hard. I did baseball back in the day, obviously, when the team first started, doing the pre and post show and then doing the play-by-play of games. Jerry Colangelo asked me to do games 1 year. And you hit mental blocks, man. It's hard doing 160-some-odd games. When I've seen Torrey, it's been on television, or I've been at a few games, I'll go downstairs. But it's not like I sit there and chop it up with him day in and day out. I've done the last 3 weeks being around him a lot and seeing how he comports himself and how deep he goes into things. It's been a long time since we've been here with the playoffs. Yesterday he was very honest, like, we have not played well. We haven't played well in this series. And he's right. You know, I get tired of the sugarcoating, and it doesn't mean that Torrey is perfect in his managerial style. You know, I haven't seen the lineup yet today. But there's a few players that I don't know what you can do with Longoria's bat or lack thereof now. I don't know Tom Pham. Christian Walker, he looks like he's about to pop out, and then he doesn't come out of his slump. Corbin Carroll's had some better at-bats. He had a tough first part of the series. And he also got drilled on the knee the other night. Now, they're not going to say things about players, and if they're at 100%, it's the nobody's at 100% this time of year. But here we are, game six. Yeah, it's going to be loud. It's going to be rowdy. It's going to be raucous and all that stuff. And what you will see on television, you should look at it and not be jealous or envious of what they do here in Philadelphia. Nobody does it better than them, including the Diamondback fans, because they're just not used to this. And the stadium is too big. In Arizona, the stadium is too big. The way it's constructed is too big. And if you are not aware of this yet, as soon as this series ends, you watch the stories are going to come out about now it's time to address the ballpark. Because they were coming anyways. But Derek Hall is going to be right in the middle of it with Ken Kendrick. They're going to talk about the stadium, and they're going to talk about payroll and all that stuff. And we're not going to do that today because, you know, I flew all this way to see a victory tonight. I'm not cheerleading, pom-pomming. I just think that this is a team that is this close, get a couple of hits, get a little bit of momentum, and I don't see 10-0 coming again. I don't. Could happen. Could happen the other way. Don't know. Do I think that the Phillies have a decided advantage? You know, when Trey Turner and Bryce Harper come up to bat, that's $600 million. Just so we're really clear. That's just hard, but this is a lot of fun. This is going to go away if you're like, what is he trying to do? No, this is a dead animal. I understand that. This is the playoff. It's like what they do in hockey. I just was like, you know what? I'm going to do something stupid. I've done dumb stuff in the past. It's fine. And I'm going to grow this thing out until they're done. And I was on a layover in Chicago. I looked in the mirror and like, wow, this isn't good. So I'm willing to take it. Rangers-Houston tonight, game seven. The Cardinals losing yesterday at Seattle ups their draft choice opportunities. You may be like, that's really harsh. You should be rooting for the team. No, I'm not. This is the hole that they dug. I think they have the right people in the front office now. I've noticed, you know, they hired a new COO. And The Athletic did this story on Michael that, you know, a lot of stuff that I've heard through the years. And it's why I don't do much on the Cardinals. I just don't, because what's gone on there has just been nonsense off the field for so long. It has been. And anybody who says it's not is just getting a check from them. But they hired a new COO, and I've noticed that suddenly they're hiring lots of people behind the scenes. And I've noticed that they've suddenly become very active, like in the last 2 weeks on social media. Very active. People that you never see do stuff. So they're trying to make changes, and I'll come back around, but I see no reason to sit here every week and say, oh man, they're this close. No, they're not. They're not. They bottomed out. They're getting some experience. The Kyler Murray story is about the only thing that's of interest. And if some of these rookies can come along, that's it. Anything else is just filling time. Because they're not going to be in the playoffs, and they do have two first-round draft picks. And so Houston has screwed things up by winning some games. But the Cardinals still have an opportunity to get the number one overall pick. And to that end, so where are you at on Caleb Williams? I'm going to talk to John Wilner about this in the next segment. I saw the end of the USC-Utah game. I saw the Arizona State Washington game. Can't believe they threw it instead of Kenny kicking it, but that's a rookie head coach. That's another story. Picked off and goes the other way. Caleb Williams, there's starting to be a little bit of blowback, a little bit of hate, a little bit of, you know, I'm going to go own a team and nobody's in these 12 and a half size shoes that I'm wearing. And is he still a Heisman Trophy guy? I would say no. They came this close to losing to U of A. So they should really have three losses. So we're going to talk to John, a lot of college football stuff that I want to get into with him. The Suns open their season this week, as if there's not enough other stuff going on. So, but all eyes are here on Philadelphia. And I'm going to head over to the stadium after I'm done with John Wilner. That is coming up around the corner. Stay with us. All right, let's shift away from what's going on here in Philadelphia, because on the college football scene, none better than John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Every Monday, John is with us. You can read his content over on sports360az.com. He has a national view, and you can follow him on his social channels, Wilner Hotline. He has the Wilner Canzano podcast, not necessarily in that order, except John's on our show, so that's what you lead with. All right, man, there's a lot to go over. The Caleb Williams backlash. It's finally happened, John. It's finally here. I think there was this feeling of, you know, the whole story about the dad and transferring and leaving and going to SC and just having this whole plan laid out and the Heisman guy returning. I think in the last week, he's not really endeared himself to people talking about owning a franchise and size 12.5 shoes. And John, am I missing something here? Is Caleb Williams going down a path he should not be going down?
Yeah, but it's all, I mean, to me, the answer is yes, but it's also inseparable from on the field, because if they're playing well, if he's playing well and they're winning, he can go down that path and it's more acceptable. It's when your play doesn't back it up, you know, when he's on all these I can't even count how many commercials he's on these days, right? I mean, and have you seen the one, Dr. Pepper one, where about the bad luck and the jinx and all that? Well, that certainly rings true more so now than it did a few weeks ago. And part of it, too, is the whole SC thing. People are always looking for any opportunity to, you know, to not dislike or, you know,
hammer
fun of USC, USC. Yeah. And they're giving people the opportunity. So I just view it all as inseparable. The answer is yes, but between his off the field stuff and his play and playing for USC and Lincoln Riley, and then Lincoln Riley going ahead and banning his players from talking to the media after it's all in one big cauldron, and
right.
You got to have the whole thing, for better or worse.
You go back to the U of A game. They should have lost to Arizona.
Yeah.
That'd be three losses in a row, right?
Well, like, I mean, in theory, if you assume that losing to Arizona doesn't change something about how they play against Notre Dame or Utah, then yeah, it would be three losses in a row. And Arizona could have won that game. You know, they had
easily.
A couple of bad personal foul penalties, right?
Yep.
But I also feel like those were inseparable with Arizona's performance, because the emotion that Arizona that fueled that performance also fueled the penalty. So you can't have one without the other. But yeah, they're not very good. They're not very good. They're not good on defense. Their offensive line is weak. They're in the hardest part of their schedule by far. They still got to play Oregon, Washington, UCLA. That could be three losses. I think they're going to have a hard game this week against Cal. Cal's coming off a bye. Cal always plays them well. Cal's going to be super motivated. You know, they could end up 7-5, 8-4.
John, there's this narrative out there that Caleb Williams should just shut it down now. Do you buy into that? That
yeah.
He's already got the NFL. What else can he do? They're not going to go to a major bowl. And is he no longer a Heisman Trophy candidate? So is shutting him down, is that going to become a storyline this week, do you believe?
Well, I certainly think his Heisman Trophy chances are very grim. But I don't know about the major bowl thing. If they win the rest of their games, you know, they're not going to get a playoff, but they could go to the Fiesta Bowl, something like that, right? They wouldn't end up in the Rose Bowl, because Rose Bowl is a playoff semifinal. But if they went out, there's, you know, they could finish top five playing in the Fiesta Bowl or the Cotton Bowl. So there's a lot to play for in that regard. To me, the whole thing about sitting out, shutting it down, there is a point at which NFL scouts say, you know what? That's not right. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not sure about his competitiveness. I'm not sure about his love for the game. I'm not sure about his, you know, I wonder about his selfishness, right? The only reason guys are able to sit out bowl games is because it doesn't impact their draft stock. But it does impact, at a certain level, it does, because the scouts view it as a reflection of your competitiveness and love for the game, and that can certainly impact your valuation. So it's kind of the market will dictate what he does the rest of the way. And if the downside risk outweighs the upside of sitting out, then he can't sit out.
What about Lincoln Riley and all this? I mean, there's this narrative out there, too, that is he really all in on coaching still? And they have a new athletic director that just came down from Washington. And look at what Kayvon DeBoer is doing. And is Lincoln Riley looking to leave USC, or, you know, things don't go well? Do you buy into any of that right now, John?
Well, there are certainly rumors about him, you know, putting feelers out in the NFL. I can't imagine how that's going to go over, right? I mean, the Kingsbury situation, I think, in Arizona made it a lot harder for Lincoln Riley to get to the NFL. I don't know. It's interesting. My guess is that he certainly has, you know, there's some, I don't know if it's buyer's remorse, but there's certain aspects of the job that maybe he didn't anticipate were going to be challenging, and they are.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly his relations with the LA media, which is an important piece of being the head coach at USC, have deteriorated to the point of, I mean, complete and utter collapse, right? The fact that he had the issue with the reporter a few weeks ago, and now he has the banning of players from talking to the reporters after the game didn't go over well. You could certainly see some cracks. The honeymoon is over.
Over.
And there's some people wondering if they're headed for divorce, right? I mean, that went from a very quick, that was a very quick, stable marriage there in some regards. But it's interesting to see, and you can't really separate the Caleb Williams thing from the Lincoln Riley thing. It's with USC and with other places of that nature, it's all just one big pot of good and bad and twists and turns.
You know, there's so much more that I could do on SC, but I don't want to take the whole segment on it, because every week we get together and very seldom do we go in depth about Utah. And all Utah does is just kind of show up, beat everybody over the head, do their thing. Doesn't matter if Cam Rising plays. Kyle Whittingham makes a pretty cute line about comparing Caleb Williams to his quarterback.
You know, pig farmer,
right. I mean, it's, John, are you surprised that Utah is sitting here, one, and two, do they take down Oregon this week? What a monster game. What an absolute monster game.
And SportsCenter will be, Game Day will be there. It's Game Day's third trip to the Pac-12 this season. That hadn't happened in 10 years. And that's a reflection of, you know, the impact the Pac-12 is having on the national narrative. Bad timing for the conference, right? This would have been better last year.
Right.
But that's a whole nother story. You know, sure, Utah can win. Absolutely. They got a terrific defense. They are very difficult to beat at home. And they seem to have found something on offense. They've had to reinvent themselves on offense because they don't have Cam Rising and they're all conference tight end and they're starting tailback and they're best receivers. So it is fascinating to watch him. He is a masterful coach. They beat SC last weekend with a tailback who was a safety until 2 weeks ago and a quarterback who was a walk-on until a month or two ago. And they go in there and beat the Heisman winner in the Coliseum, right? But Bryson Barnes, their quarterback, they put him on scholarship before the season. It is remarkable. And it's all very Utah, right? I mean, I'm writing about this today. Sione Vaki, the kid who has been a safety and switched to tailback and had 200 total yards against SC and two touchdowns. He was a three-star recruit from the Bay Area who had scholarship offers to Utah State, Washington State, Utah, BYU, right? Utah does such a great job of finding these guys, developing them, putting in positions to succeed. They are just the model program in so many respects. I think the only one that is close in terms of doing what Utah does is Oregon State, right? Jonathan Smith does a great job of finding kids that are overlooked and developing them. Utah, you can't count them out. Two-time defending champs. I don't think they're going to win it a third time, but they are right in the middle of the race.
Who do you like Saturday?
Who do I like straight up? I like the Ducks straight up. But I'll tell you what, the 6.5 points is a lot of points.
Yeah, and
I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up inching down as the week goes on. I think Oregon, even though they lost at Husky Stadium, they had that game. They outplayed Washington in the second half. I think Oregon is the best all-around team. But, man, Utah is the toughest team, the most resourceful team, the most resilient team, and the best coach team. So they're at home. So, you know, that they got a great chance to win.
John Wilner with us. You can find his content on sports360az.com. You can follow him on Wilner Hotline and other parts on the social media scene. Before I get you out of here, let's go through the in-state schools. You know, Arizona's coming off a bye. They're in great position to go to a bowl game. Arizona State, they have not quit for Kenny Dillingham. They are down to their, I don't know, they have no offensive lineman left, really. Kenny actually in his post game said, anybody who's 300 pounds, please show up. And he was serious. It's like, we just need players.
Yeah.
I had some friends that texted me that said, if USC had ASU's defense, they'd be 15-0. So I like what's going on, John, with Kenny. I like what's going on with Jed Fish. Are both Arizona schools starting to go? I know U of A is down the path of going the right direction. Is Kenny, that was close to being the signature win, it wasn't, but are you seeing enough to say, you know what, for a rookie head coach, he's getting it done there?
Well, so, you know, for Arizona, huge, they have turned the corner, especially on defense. Huge game this weekend against Oregon State, right? This is really a chance for Arizona to prove it's top half of the conference. I think, you know, Dillingham has done everything you could ask. There's no question about that. But have they turned the corner? I think it's too early to tell because we don't know what the NCAA sanctions are going to be like. And we don't know what implications those will have for the roster construction the next 2 or 3 years, right? I mean, who knows what the scholarship reductions, postseason, all that kind of thing. But certainly if you're an ASU fan, you have to love the fact that these kids are still playing hard for him after everything that's happened, injuries, administratively, the losses. You couldn't have asked for more from Dillingham or the players. Obviously, they're buying what he is selling, which is the most important thing. you know, they were one bad call away from winning that game, right? I mean, the pass interference penalty that was picked up, the flag that was picked up in the end zone shouldn't have been picked up. That was a terrible, terrible decision by the referees. So they are doing everything they can with what they've got, and they don't have very much. So, you know, if I'm an ASU fan, I've got to be thrilled. And I've got to be, you know, you have to, I think you can see how much the school and the program matters to Dillingham in his DNA with the way he's coaching. And if they had hired someone else who didn't have the blood ties to ASU, you wonder what would have happened with the bowl ban and all the injuries and how that internal dynamic would be playing out.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, because it's still really hard on that staff from my
view. Oh my gosh.
It's really, really hard. And they'll say, you know, the game against Fresno State, we're down to our fourth string quarterback. We've been in every game. It's not like we haven't been out of games, but I think the losing obviously is beating their head against the wall, and they just got to take it. And I agree with you about U of A. I just think Arizona is in that space, John, where Jed, he didn't get it done against SC, and going to Pullman and blowing them away, that was impressive, very impressive actually. But he still has a couple games within the conference that he could get that signature win for this year. He still has
few games. Oh, yeah. But they're going to be hard games, right? I mean,
yes.
Especially given where Colorado is, obviously competitive at this point. I think they got, what, Oregon State, UCLA, Utah, Colorado, ASU, something like that.
Yep.
You know, I think those are all potentially tough games. I mean, you cannot assume, if you're Arizona, you certainly can't assume a victory in the Territorial Cup, even though ASU is winless, just because, you know, ASU will play with a lot of emotion in that game.
Sure.
So Arizona still, you know, they could finish 8-4. They could finish 5-7. We don't know this, but Saturday is going to be very telling.
Let's go off that. Appreciate your time and insight as always, John. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
John Wilner with us week in and week out on Mondays as we talk Pac-12 and college football. Back with more in Philadelphia after this timeout.